Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got up. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Superflex Dude, and I have a trading problem.
Superflex Dude.
Superflex Dude, in honor of Russ being back here, we've got to bring out the old school.
Yes. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 392 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. We are at week what? It's like week 10 just happened, I think. Well, we're past the halfway point of the NFL. We're way past the halfway point of our fantasy season. Last week is what? Week 14? Like you should know by now whether you got a pretender, contender, or if you're just bad, which is also good, you know, because you never want to be in the middle. You want to be good or you want to be bad. You never want to be in the middle. So being bad, it's good to be bad. But yeah, so before we get started, we don't need to do the interview thing with John at this point, because John was like one of the original guests we've ever had in the first place on this show, which has been going on for what, like 16 years at this point?
Something I think like so.
Yeah, we were just baby-faced kids.
But before we get going, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yes. It's me. It's Yoel SFD from the Superflex Super Show, and also writing some, ranking some at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. But yeah, check out the podcast. So it's me and my guy Tommy Blair.
Yes, that is, again, one of the original shows that even I guested on 17 years ago, since it's been around longer than I've been around. The good old days, fellas, the good old days.
Yep. We're still hanging on, though.
But we have some Dynasty news, which is not the good old days. Because when is news ever good at this point in the season? Like at week 10, week 11, there's no like, hey, guys, yay. Yeah. It's always, hey, Brian. Well, I mean, Brian Daboll got fired, which I guess people can be excited start about.
It's probably a good news if you're a Giants fan.
I don't know, man. Like there is so much wrong that it feels like Daboll just scapegoat a little bit.
Yeah, and like I mean, what's the goal too, you know? Like you've got a rookie quarterback. Like the goal is going to be to find somebody like Daboll basically to groom him. So it's like, I mean, good luck finding a you know, a better replacement.
Well, a coach that is willing to put his quarterback into less medical tents, I think, is what they really need to search for. Because man, they just, I know it's not necessarily Brian Daboll being like, hey, use your head, throw your head out there when you're running, like, you know, don't slide. Like, I'm sure that's not what's happening, but man, he gets a lot of concussion checks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Daboll just thinks that him and Cam Scatabo are the same guy. Just see a white guy out there running around like a madman. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. That's what he does.
The math checks out on that.
Same guy.
Does this change anything for you in any of the, with Jackson Dart or with Malik Nabers eventually, or any, I guess maybe Scatabo coming back? Like, does this change any of the value for any Giants players for either of you?
I mean, not really. I do think it is a positive, like the Brian Daboll is fired. I mean, he's been there like 4 years now, 3 years,
Has
4
it
years.
Been that long?
Yeah. And he's never really been able to get it right there. And I know it's not all him. He's not bringing all the players. But, I mean, we saw Daniel Jones was largely a disaster there. And now he's a borderline MVP candidate when he goes to a real offensive coordinator. So
not the past 2 weeks, man. We might be seeing prime pumpkin Daniel Jones at this point.
Maybe, but his stats overall have been pretty good. So
yeah.
He's definitely looked a lot better than the large amount of New York Giants Daniel Jones. So I don't have any faith in Daboll at all as a coach, as an offensive mind, or anything like that. So to me, it doesn't majorly affect anything for me, but I view it as a net positive.
There you go, John. Anything?
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, he brought the resume of what he did with Josh Allen, and it's like, I mean, you've had two shots at this now, and there's no Josh Allen in New York, so yeah, it is kind of time to give someone else a shot. I mean, I'm curious, you know, what direction they go from here, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go more defensive minded. But you know, just the addition by subtraction, I think I agree with Rocky.
Yeah. Okay. So next on the list is Travis Hunter's getting season ending knee surgery, discussed mostly last week, but interested in Russ and John's thoughts. My thought is that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. for multiple reasons.
Yeah. What if, did we ever find out exactly what happened to his knee? Did he tear his ACL? Like, do we,
I want to say LCL?
Yeah, that's what I saw, LCL. I think it happened in practice, I think, or something.
Practice, yeah. Like, he definitely hurt himself in practice, but I never saw anything about what actually happened. Hopefully this is less of a recovery than an ACL, because if he's just getting his surgery now, that's...
I saw something today that they expect to, like, it's like 6 months. So I think it's just LCL. Still,
it's still
long, but I mean... ACL, yeah. You're like worried about the next year. I mean, 6 months is, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was really getting about. Like, are we worried about he's not going to be ready to be close to 100% by the time it's like week 10 next year? But if it seems like he could be ready to go week one, and then, you know, by week like four, he's back to himself. That's all. That's fine. I almost said awesome, but that's not awesome. That's okay. You know, awesome is not getting hurt.
So what I hate about this, though, is we still don't have the information that we needed on Travis Hunter. Is he a cornerback? Is he a wide receiver? And I think we really kind of needed this full season to figure out how are we supposed to value him in Dynasty based on how much time is he going to spend playing defense, which, you know, for a multitude of reasons hurts us in terms of fantasy production. And so, you know, another full off season, non-point scoring season, sorry, Russ, of not totally understanding, you know, what Travis Hunter is going to be as a pro. That sucks too. That's going to make things really, really difficult for us to navigate.
Yeah. I haven't really known what to make of him, and he was coming on a little bit just before he got hurt, but I was never really in fully on Travis Hunter, cause I just have, it's coming as no surprise to anybody who listens. I have trouble putting a lot of faith in any of Trevor Lawrence's targets, as I'm one of the biggest Trevor Lawrence haters out there. So I also have zero shares of Brian Thomas Jr. for that reason, which hurt me last year, but is not feeling so bad this year.
Yeah, that's making me sad. But we'll also talk about Brian Thomas Jr. a little later, which I'm glad about, because I have... It's not even that I have concerns. I'm just sad about it because he's so good. And he was doing so... Okay, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We talked about Travis Hunter. Let's move on to another thing that's sad. Garrett Wilson will miss 3 to 4 weeks with a knee sprain. Players want to play, but I imagine the Jets will be very patient with him given their record at this point. Yes. I am a little worried about Garrett Wilson just being shelved for the season at this point. And it would be the right thing to do, the smart thing to do, and it's the Jets, so that means they won't.
Probably not.
Right. But again, we're not really affecting Garrett Wilson's dynasty value based on 3 to 4 weeks anyway, so it doesn't necessarily matter. He asks, do you like Mitchell or Mechie better as a dart throw? My answer is absolutely neither. No one.
The answer is Tyler Johnson, but... I mean, you know, we're chasing volume. Mechie's the one kind of built for volume. Adonai Mitchell's just really an over-the-top type of guy, a YOLO ball guy. So it would be Mechie for me. But Tyler Johnson has been getting substantial volume for weeks now. So, you know, with various wide receivers out. So to me, that's the guy you want.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, too. I agree both, neither, but if I had to pick one, Mechie. Cool.
Next on the list, J.K. Dobbins could be a candidate for IR with a foot injury, because let's just put everyone on IR at this point.
Yeah.
Did you sneeze? Did you sneeze a little too hard? IR. Was that a cough?
Bruce Ribs from your sneeze.
you hurt my feelings. I'm going on IR. Yeah.
I have so much J.K. Dobbins, too.
Do we believe enough in Harvey that this means anything if Dobbins misses time?
Not really for Harvey. I think Bidet is the guy who gets the bump. Harvey probably is going to stay in the same basic role, which is more of a get him out in space and get him involved in the passing game. And I don't know that they want to start running him between the tackles. He's just not built the same way Dobbins is. So
no.
Yeah, he's just been annoyingly getting a lot of the touches in the red zone, a lot of times in the passing game in the red zone, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. As a Dobbins owner, I'm very aware of that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think he's going to be like taking on like 20 carries a game now or anything.
Yeah,
I don't know. If he does, I don't have a lot of faith in it.
Man, poor Dobbins, I guess is all I could really say. Like, he's having such a solid season, and this is probably like best case scenario for him in his career at this point, with the amount of injuries he's gone through already, and then he gets hurt again. It's just, again, it just sucks. Joe Burrow is returning to practice this week. Imagine they would be patient given how Flacco is playing. Soft timetable is week 14. It's week 11 this week. So there's still plenty of time before we have to worry about it. I said let Flacco play the rest of the season because I'm having fun watching Joe Flacco play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're bad. I mean, they're only, what, like two games out of the division anyway, or out of the division lead?
The whole division's not very good record-wise, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Again,
they'll probably bring them back, yeah, to try and make a playoff, assuming they don't just, like, lose the next whole month or something.
Yeah, again, there's not much to really talk about dynasty-wise here, I guess, because even if you're just playing Flacco, or if you traded for Flacco, it's not like you traded much for him that you feel upset if he doesn't finish the season out. You got what you got and you're pretty happy about it. And especially with the level of he's playing since changing over from Cleveland to Cincinnati, like the level of play, I guess also the level of receiver is pretty different, but that's besides the point. No, that pretty probably is most of the point.
where it really sucks for people, like I did this a lot. If I had Burrow in a league and put him on IR and I traded for Flacco. And so, like, that's going to really suck because that's right around the start of fantasy playoffs where we're going to lose Flacco, who's playing well, and we're going to have that boring little ramp up period with Burrow where he's going to do nothing. And it's just going to crush us. It's like, man, just stay with Flacco at this point.
Yep. Dalton Kincaid is week to week with a hamstring injury. That Bills offense is worrisome. I heard that. I don't remember if I heard it during the game and the commentator said it or if I read it on the internet somewhere, but the Bills asked about Jalen Waddle before at the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah. I think that was during the game. I remember hearing that too. Yeah.
Man, I wish that happened. Give that poor man someone to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Man, there are a few guys that would have been nice to see go there. Anyone.
Jacoby Myers would have been amazing.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess that was the writing on the wall that Travis Hunter wasn't coming back this year anyway.
Yeah.
All right, some minor news. We'll just read through it. Jackson Dart has a concussion. Brock Purdy could return in week 11. Sure. Arondé Gadsden is day-to-day with a quad bruise, but it could have been way worse. Good. I'm glad he didn't get way worse. And Eagles D is back to being legit. Plan accordingly.
So what I'm learning
there for me.
I was gonna say, so Rocky writes these. Cool.
Okay, so that is the end of the news, and we are at the point where I ask our guest, Hey, John, do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions first?
Listener questions. Let's start with those.
All right, let's scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. These are all from our buddy Dynastud, TA2, shout out. Yeah. We know John loves QBs and lots of them, so let's go the other way. Who are the elite tier QBs who John is fading at current value and why?
Oh, man, I don't have a lot of those. Like, if they're legitimately elite tier, like you've got to be in on them a little bit. I have never liked Lamar Jackson all that much. Annoys the crap out of me with the lack of consistency. And I'm getting there. Sorry, Rock, but I'm getting there right now with Jalen Hurts. Like, again, it's a lack of consistency. And if you take away, you know, Cam Jurgens out and you take away the tush push, you eliminate his entire floor at this point.
Yeah, so
I can never think of these things off the top of my head. I had to pull up a list of all of the teams.
I was just going to comment on the Hurst. I hear that. I mean, he's still been very good this year for fantasy. I mean, the passing game has definitely fluctuated, and this last week was pretty bad. I think the cold did have something to do with that, and it's just the kind of game it was. But I'm just looking in Trade Addicts Scram. I mean, he's 20-plus points most weeks, the large majority of weeks. He's only got this week and one other week that he's below 20.7. So I don't think he's been that inconsistent. He doesn't run quite as much as he used to, but he's still getting some rushing touchdowns. I think even to take away the tush push, it's not like they're going to take away QB sneaks. Like, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just, so many things people say about the tush push, like, boggles my mind. Like, you could say them about QB sneaks. Like,
yeah,
the fact that some guys runs up behind him and pushes them, and the specific formation is all that makes it the tush push. It's, people can go off sides on a QB sneak, and they're hard to officiate too. And there's all these arguments people make. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. I don't think I'm with you on Jalen. Not even just because he's an Eagle, because I'm the least homerish fantasy person you'll ever meet. Like I said, I still think the floor is mostly there. I still think he'll get rushing touchdowns, whether the tush push is banned or not. He's a strong quarterback, and like I said, I'm not going to take QB sneaks out of the game, and he'll run for, you know, actual running touchdowns, like from like the 10-yard line occasionally and things like that.
Yeah, it's just, it's been like that. The tush push, I don't have a problem with the tush push. I just don't love when a quarterback has to get a rushing touchdown for you to get a touchdown from him in a given week. You know, like there's a possibility that that he goes the entire game without a passing touchdown. And it's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. And so, you know, you're just hoping for that rushing touchdown. That annoys the crap out of me. That's so inconsistent. That's so hard to count on. And it's not even matchup dependent, you know? So we're just hoping that in the case of Jalen Hurts, we're just hoping that he ends up at the 1 yard line and that they, you know, battering ram him in. And like I said, that's just kind of his floor. And if he doesn't get that, like, what is the floor? You know, that's how it feels at the moment. Now, you know, Super Bowl hangover, like, that has been a thing for a very long time. You know, AJ Brown injuries, some injuries along the offensive line. Like, there are plenty of reasons why this could still turn around. But right at the moment, he's elite in name only to me.
I'm going to go a little, I don't know if hot takey is necessarily right, but I'm at cost, not a fan of Jaden Daniels because of
that. That was what I was going to say.
Because of everything John just said, and it's not Jaden Daniels' fault. It's the players on that team.
Yeah.
Man, I wish they just signed T. Higgins. Like, they needed to sign a real wide receiver. And while Debo's fine, it's a boring, slow dink and dunk offense where it shouldn't be. Like that's not what, like, he was bombing it to Terry McLaurin last year, and that's not what you do with Terry McLaurin. Like, that's not what he does necessarily completely. And I loved Jaden Daniels at QB of course, he wasn't going to stay at QB 13, 15 prices after what he did. But I remember people telling me that they were valuing Daniels over Lamar Jackson after the season.
Those mock drafts, I was seeing him go first overall in a lot of them.
QB2 in the October ADP for DLF.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah,
that's ridiculous. That's
far too much. Yeah. Put him at QB 7 or 8, and I'm in. I'm still all in.
Yeah.
But at like 2, 3, no, that's far too much.
So for all the same reasons, Bo Nix is not elite. That's the only reason that he doesn't make it into this conversation, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And he's actually healthy, but like that offense is just, and like it really got exposed against the Raiders on Thursday night. It was like, that is not a professional quality offense, other than like Cortland Sutton should be a wide receiver too. Yep. It's a good offensive line. Dobbins has been fine. RJ Harvey is good for, you know, what he does, but like most of these guys belong on practice squads somewhere.
All right. Where do we want Kyler to go in the offseason? Again, assuming he's going somewhere. And should we be buying low now, hoping on those top landing spots? Now, as a very pro Kyler person / podcast, he hasn't really looked very good this year. When he was healthy, he's still like,
sure,
he's been pretty disappointing. I don't know if it's the offense or if it's him, but I am loving this Trey McBride production with Jacoby Brissett. That's all I know. That is literally all I know right now, is I'm loving these touchdowns. And he did get a lot of targets with Kyler. I was never really felt like double digit targets, which is what he's getting right now, which is just so much fun. But like, what do you guys feel on Kyler, Rock? Are you still in on Kyler? Do you still like him in Arizona with Marvin Harrison, with Trey McBride? Do you think he's moving somewhere? If you do you think there's any real landing spot which would make him shine in any way, shape, or form?
I do still like Kyler. You're right. He was not great this season when he was playing. I still think, but for the majority of his career, at least for fantasy, and he's not been a bad passer or real life NFL QB, just hasn't been great. But for fantasy, he's always been a QB1 prior to this year, at least top 12. And I still think that'll continue. I don't know what was going on earlier this year where things were going so poorly. Maybe he does need a change of scenery at this point. I don't have a great place in mind that I think he's going to necessarily, like you said, shine more. I was just kind of looking through just based on weapons, but I don't think they would do this early. But Michael Penix has not been good. Yeah. So Atlanta was interesting to me. But I don't think they'll give up on him this early. It's just my guess. Especially after they just paid like a whole bunch of money for another quarterback that they benched within like six games or whatever it was last year. I'm not sure there's another, another spot he could go to that I don't love would be the Jets maybe, but I don't want to see anybody that I want to do well go to the Jets. So
imagine Miami swapping quarterbacks with Arizona.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Give Tua new life. Give Kyler new life. We have Roman in the chat saying the Raiders.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Brock Bowers managers, like, flipping out that Bowers scored one touchdown in the season.
Yeah, seriously. LA Rams, if Matthew Stafford were to retire, is where
that would be fun. Go.
And have McVay coaching him would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because this feels systemic. And here's the thing, like, low key. Kyler Murray is another one who's had a very low floor for most of his career. And there are times where you're lucky to get a touchdown out of him in a game. And that happens about half the season. And that has been the case most of his career, like I said. So, but I can't imagine that that's him. And, you know, we've just seen so many quarterbacks go through Arizona over the years and struggle. And it just, like, you just start to feel like, man, this has to be something with just like the organization as a whole for some reason. You know, like even a regime change doesn't change the fact that they cannot get reasonable quarterback play.
Can anyone here confirm that Bucky Irving even still has two attached feet? Because Dynastud is legit unsure. I will say I cannot confirm.
No. Nope.
I have not been in the same room as his feet. So no, I can't confirm either. It has been annoying, this injury. It's going on. Like when he went out, it was never, it didn't seem like it was some like huge thing. Like it seemed like almost like a few week thing. And now there's no timetable for return. It's as someone who has way too much Bucky Irving, it's been very annoying.
As discussed in the TA2 Discord, this year's rookie class doesn't seem to be great. So if you're a tanker who is headed for the 101, where is the cutoff for you in terms of a more established player that you'd take to trade out of the 101? So here's my thing. There is zero reason to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer is, yeah, there's nothing that feels great about the 101 right now. There's Drew Aller out of Penn State, Simpson out of Alabama is getting a lot of hype right now. 27 seems to be where all these players that like we're, you know, excited about are going to be. But there's always going to be people that end up getting hype and end up being liked by the Dynasty community that will end up having a couple of players that are going to be valuable. So absolutely, I say don't do anything silly like trading away your 101 right now, which this is brought up because Dynasty just took it away from me in TA2.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I mean, like, what's even the goal of your season if you're willing to bail on 101 now for some production in 2025? Like, you know, like, what was the point of, you know, tanking or whatever version of that you were just doing for the last 10 weeks?
So that would be a baller move to trade away. Like, it's you say, look, this is the 101. I am 0-10 right now. You trade him away, then all of a sudden you finish the season at 4-10, and here it's like the 104.
Well, I took it as more he's just meant like taking somebody youngish in return.
Yeah.
Rather like than that, he's just trying to get points.
Yeah, you're going to look at those players. This is a terrible – he's the name that's stuck in my head, but Brian Thomas Jr., like those young players that are like clearly not Brian Thomas Jr. for the 101 anymore. But like I'm having trouble thinking of someone like – Garrett Wilson, maybe, like, because he's still hurt, so you're still sort of tanking it, and you're going to come in next year with a really good player, regardless of who the quarterback is, because we've seen him do well, regardless of who the quarterback is. But still, like, my real answer is worry about that in May.
Yeah. Put some names to the picks first. That's where you really start to understand the value. So yeah, like, it doesn't have to be a good rookie class for 101 to still be a player that can elevate the value.
All right, last question. When do you allow yourself to consider trading away current production as a contender? Example, I'm terrified that Flacco turns into a pumpkin and the Burrow return is being rushed. Am I crazy to consider trading away Russ's love, T. Higgins? So really a question for Rocky and John.
Yeah,
so I guess Rocky or John, do you have any feelings about trading away production, even if you're a contender?
I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. During point scoring season, I'm also someone who likes depth too. You know, we were just talking about all the injuries at the beginning of the show. We're always going to have injuries. I can see doing it on low-end guys. Like, if you happen to have had Kamani Vidal on your roster and you can get a second for him, I'm fine with that. Or something like, or you traded away Joe Flacco once he became the starter because you already had three quarterbacks and were contending and he happened to be on your roster or something from last year. But in terms of trading somebody like a T. Higgins, I don't love him the way Russ loves him, but I'm also a big T. Higgins fan, so I would not. I do think you're crazy to consider trading away Russ's love, T. Higgins. I'm holding on to those guys until I'm out of the play. Like, if you don't win the title too, you can always get lucky and, like, you know, you can often get it, like, move a guy like after the semis if you're in leagues with no trade deadline and you get eliminated and you really want to move a contending piece, you can sometimes do it right then. When someone has that title in front of them, a lot of people will pay whatever it takes.
Man, so I'm finding out that over the years, our player takes are just like going farther and farther apart. I mean, I knew about this one. So, like, I do have to point out, I am not a fan of T. Higgins, another very inconsistent one. And so, like, he's kind of a bad example for me. But, like, I mean, you know, strip away the name, and I'm with Rocky. I don't think that you want to give up proven production, especially as a contender. You know, especially just based on speculation that the quarterback situation might not be great. Which, first of all, you know, Joe Flacco has been very good for that entire offense. There's kind of no reason for us to really believe that it would change. Number two, the one thing that could change is you lose Flacco because Joe Burrow comes back, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then above all else, this is the biggest thing for me, is we have seen over and over that quarterback play doesn't have very much of an effect on wide receiver production. Like, the best wide receivers in the league typically have a pretty meh quarterback, pretty mid. Look at what JSN is doing right now with Sam freaking Darnold, of all people. Like, you know, and you go all the way back through CeeDee Lamb with Dak Prescott out for the season, and you know, Justin Jefferson with kind of Kirk Cousins and like a handful of other guys.
Hey,
like,
no Kirk Cousins slander here.
I mean, he produced wide receiver one overall for the season. I can't say anything bad there. Like
Drake London right now with Michael
Pence. Right. Yeah, he's producing great. JSN, like I said, you know, like, yeah, these guys don't need elite quarterback play in order for them to produce. And in fact, it seems like they actually do better with the worse the quarterback is a lot of times, because in it, you know, which makes sense, because those quarterbacks are the ones who tend to zero in on the one, you know, on that one guy. And that's where all your production comes from. That's where all your volume comes from.
I was about to say, look what's happening right now with Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase, where he literally is getting 15 to 20 targets a game.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's layers of this for me. I think it was Rocky at some point brought up, like, if you have Joe Flacco on your roster and he's like your third or fourth quarterback, yeah, fine, trade him away. I got an offer for Joe Flacco in one of my leagues where he is my third quarterback. And it was Joe Flacco for a third, where if I were a non-competing team, I would have taken that immediately. Just like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But like, I'm competing. Clearly so is that guy. What's a third really going to do for me in the long run?
Right.
Like, is that really worth making somebody else's team that much better with the way Joe Flacco is putting up, regardless of how he's playing in the real world, he's putting up fantasy points, and that's what matters. Yep. Like, so at that point, it's like, I think I'll just hold. But like, friend of the show, Trader Joe, was talking about how he just traded Jaylen Warren away for a second. Like, that's something I would do right now.
Really? I mean, a part of it is I love Jaylen Warren the rest of the season. I think we had a question somewhere along the line that we ended up deleting about running backs who have been kind of mid, who might be league winners. And that was going to be one of my guys, is Jaylen Warren. So, but again, it's strip away the name and just kind of make it generic. And yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, if he's someone I'm starting, that's not something I would be wanting to do. Like, he's not been amazing, but he's been very solid production when he's been healthy this year.
Yeah, Jaylen Warren's been very solid, that's sure, but I don't know. It's, if you think someone is going to be bad, then trade him away. That's fine, because you're playing based on your takes, your feelings, you know, not someone else's. If you think T. Higgins is going to be bad, I mean, this is dynasty, so rest of season isn't the end all be all, but like, if you're contending and you can trade T. Higgins for Devonta Smith plus, like, you know, if you could trade, you know, for someone who is something is that it's something again, like John is saying, in the generic, take away names. If you can trade for someone that is still going to give you points, Deebo Samuel, someone who's a lot cheaper but will still give you production and a second, you know, on top, yeah, then go for it, because you want to win based on your feelings, based on your takes, based on your, if you actually do research, good for you. I don't, but you know, based on your own research. So again, I just don't want to see the respective you throwing your season away. Make sure you're still getting production back. Don't just sell for picks, especially if you're not in an active league where you could then have trouble turning that pick into another player for yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't trade away T. Higgins. I love T. Higgins. Trade T. Higgins to me. Except in cheat TA2, I'm tanking, so I don't need him.
I don't have T. Higgins in any league, so I couldn't trade him to you if I wanted to.
And I have him in most of them, so it's fine.
That's why.
All right, so that was our last question, so let's move on to Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points per return yardage, except for TA1, and we don't got any of those anyway. Whew, haven't done that in a while. That felt good.
It's like riding a bike.
Yep. TA2 is our first league with trades, and the first trade we have is Christian McCaffrey and a third and a 27 third for Ricky Pearsall and a late 26 first. So McCaffrey going for a first plus, because this just feels like you're throwing in the 27 third to make it look even. Like it looks like it's two for two. Because what's a 27 third when we're talking about the rest of these pieces?
Yeah.
So I love, if I'm not competing, getting, I mean, is Pearsall worth a first anymore? Probably not with all of these injuries and everything. He probably was coming into the season just because we were all like, oh, he's going to be the guy with Ayuk still out, which Ayuk is apparently maybe going to play football again. Again, like this is another guy we need to make sure he has 2 feet. Like, because they're like, Pearsall's coming back. Ayuk's not.
Yeah. But,
Purdy's coming back. Pearsall might. Ayuk's not. So, John, what do you think about Christian McCaffrey in a 27 third for Pearsall and a late 26 first?
Yeah, this feels pretty even. You know, I'm just kind of assuming context. I'm assuming that, you know, rebuilding team with McCaffrey, you know, trying to just get younger and liquidate this year's scoring. Like, in that situation, I think it's close. Like, I would rather get a little bit more secure player than Ricky Pearsall. I mean, he's just missed most of his career with injuries at this point. One of them was a bullet wound, so I can't be too hard on him, but like,
it's probably not still, repeatable.
Not likely to get re-injured.
Yeah, that's like people calling Keenan Allen injury prone when he punctured his spleen, was it?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, spleen,
yeah.
Kidney or something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If that one gets repeated, then like, okay. Yeah. We were very wrong about Ricky Pearsall. He obviously pisses people off to no extent. I would rather get somebody that I've got a little bit more information on, a little bit more reveal at this point. But at the end of the day, I think the goal is to get McCaffrey off your roster and get, you know, first round, like mid first round value at the most, and that's kind of what you're getting.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in total agreement with John on this one. I think this is pretty much spot on value. You want a first and a young player for McCaffrey seems like a great return to me at this point, given McCaffrey's age and injury history and all that. I agree that Ricky Pearsall is definitely still a big question mark, but he was looking good in that first month before he did get hurt. He had a couple nice games, a couple double-digit fantasy games, even though he did not even have a touchdown in those four games. So I do think he's a nice little player to get thrown in there. It's basically like a first and maybe a high second or something at this point value-wise, and I think that's about what you can expect for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, it feels like a win to get more than just a first for Christian McCaffrey. And like, you probably weren't even getting a first for Christian McCaffrey before the season started. So being able to get a first in a young player who, again, we've seen play a little bit and he did pretty well when we saw him play. And he, even if, even if you are competing, at least he's coming back. But still, that, again, that's definitely not the player you want in that trade if you're still competing. And just, why are you moving off McCaffrey if you're competing anyway? So, yeah, let's just assume that the McCaffrey team is no longer. So I like it. I like it on both sides. Would I wish I could just pay the first for McCaffrey? Yes. Would adding Pearsall stop me from making the trade? I don't think so. And that's probably where I would spitefully add the 27th third. Like, oh, you want to give me, you want to take Pearsall from me? You're giving me that third.
Yeah. I think you got to demand a little more than a first if you're the selling team at this point in the season for somebody who's trying to trade for, you know, a high-end running back.
Yeah. So let's move on to trade addicts 8, where the trade is Marvin Harrison Jr. for Garrett Wilson and Jaden Higgins. This felt like an angry trade when they found out that Garrett Wilson was going to miss more time.
This was me, by the way, so I'll let you two comment first.
Oh, interesting.
And I know for a fact that that's exactly what it was. Oh, man. Poor Tyler.
But Wilson has been having guys just get hurt on his roster all year, and he's still in, like, the first or second spot in the league. But.
Yep.
Man, kind of just back to, you know, what are your own player values? This really kind of, to me, this is really just Marv for Garrett Wilson. But I'll be honest, it devalues the Garrett Wilson side a little bit that you have to take on a second wide receiver. Wide receiver depth is just, is like, you just end up with a bunch of roster cloggers. Those need to be running backs. And so, you know, and there's not a great path for Jaden Higgins to be fantasy viable once that entire offense is healthy. So, like, it does feel like that's kind of where this is headed with him. So, but I still prefer Garrett Wilson to Marvin Harrison Jr. anyways. So I would do it, but I'm looking to flip to Jaden Higgins.
Watch it, man. That's a flip I don't appreciate.
I'm already looking to flip T. Higgins. Now I'm after his little brother Jaden. It's the whole family.
Yeah. I agree with John. I did like what we saw out of Jaden Higgins when Nico Collins missed the game for the concussion. Higgins had like 7 or 8 targets. Like, he had a good game. Mm-hmm. The problem is everyone's sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Everyone's comparison of Jaden Higgins coming into the draft process was Nico Collins light, and then you put him on the team with Nico Collins, and like, how is he supposed to thrive in that situation?
Right. Well, and they're splitting him with Jalen Noel quite a bit too, so like, they're just kind of playing the same spot and just rotating out, and it's just that's just not a path that I want to go down with a wide receiver. You know, I'd rather see someone just really go in and start commanding work.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, like, again, the whole point of this show is to not put context and just make it about player value. But this one is so context driven because of Garrett Wilson just getting hurt. And I want to add that this is like the 18th player on this guy's team that has gotten injured.
Oof.
Like, it really has been like, he's still in like first or second place, but it's literally been rough. Like, he traded for Joe Burrow a week before he got hurt from me. Like, that's been his luck this season. So, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. has been doing a little better this year than I think he did last year, which is what you like to see. He's been doing better with a meh Kyler Murray and with a meh Jacoby Brissett. I think if I'm in these shoes, like John said, I don't care about throwing Jaden Higgins into this deal. Like, if I want to flip Garrett Wilson for Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rocky says, you got to give me Jaden Higgins or I'm not doing it, I'd be like, okay, man, you can have it. It's all right. I think I value Garrett Wilson above Marvin Harrison Jr. at this point. It just sucks that Garrett Wilson got hurt again.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was. This was actually sent to me. I did not ask for Jaden Higgins even. I do disagree with John on his whole wide receiver thing, but I know that's how he feels about, you know, roster construction. But I'm rebuilding. I like getting the extra dart throw and Jaden Higgins, even more than a dart throw, because he was pretty well regarded coming out. Yeah. But I'm with you guys. To me, at worst, Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison are equal. And personally, I prefer Garrett Wilson to Marvin Harrison. And it's not like Garrett Wilson is significantly older either. And again, I'm rebuilding in this league, so I don't need any points. This is kind of fun too, because I think I actually traded. I was looking back. I know Russ always says not to look back.
Never.
But I actually had traded Trey Benson and Ricky Pearsall for Marvin Harrison, which is looking like a good deal now. Oh, yeah. And then I actually traded Dobbins in a second to get Pearsall back. So it's like Dobbins and a second and Trey Benson for Gary Wilson, basically.
Stop bragging.
And so the other thing I do want to say, though, in the context of a rebuild, I'm totally fine with loading up on wide receiver depth. Like you said, you want, you know, kind of some lotto tickets and see what hits. The running back thing is really more for a more, you know, completed, built out roster that you just want to detail. That's where I start to get away from wide receivers and turn them into running backs. But like, yeah, for those purposes, Jaden Higgins actually makes a ton of sense.
Right. So let's move on to TA9, where the first trade isn't necessarily, I didn't leave this on here to talk about the trade because it's Kamani to Vidal for a third, which is not a very exciting trade. But I'm curious what you guys think about Vidal, and did he earn a role once Amarian Hampton comes back? Because there was a good couple of games where Hampton was the dude and that he was it. Do you think Vidal has played well enough to earn a role? Like, should we worry about Hampton not coming back and being a workhorse?
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, first of all, there's the draft capital invested into Hampton. That's always going to be a thing. And they just play a very similar role, and Hampton's just kind of the better player. Like, I think he just comes back to his normal role, but I'll still give a third every day for a Kamani Vidal type of player for that profile, just because that's, you know, when I talk about loading up on running back depth, like that's the type of guy who very clearly just steps into a workhorse role as soon as a guy above him goes down. And like Zach Reed always says, the running back position is an elevator, you know, so it's just a direct shot to the starting job if the guy ahead of him goes down again. And so, yeah, like that's the type of player that you want, but I'm not worried about him as a Hampton guy.
Yeah, I'm with John, and I'm a big Hampton guy. So yeah, I just think the talent disparity is too great, and it's not like Kamani Vidal is going to disappear necessarily now that he showed he can do a little something. But I don't think it'll be significant enough to make any Hampton managers too worried about what they're getting from Hampton.
Okay. Next, we have Jaden Daniels, a 26 first, likely mid, and 27 second. For Caleb Williams, James Cook, and DK Metcalf. Okay, one more time. Jaden Daniels, a 26 first, we'll just call it a mid first, and a 27 second. For Caleb Williams, James Cook, and DK Metcalf.
I was going to let John go first on this one because I'm. there's a lot going on here.
There is. It's a kind of tough one. I mean, I start doing the dirty math. Like, first of all, you have to get on board with the premise here of Jaden Daniels for Caleb Williams, basically straight up, considering one is healthy and playing well, and the other is just not anywhere near healthy. Like, his arm is bent the wrong way at the moment. So,
at least it's not his throwing arm.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah. So, but you know, if you're on board with that premise, then the Jaden Daniels side just kind of falls way behind immediately. James Cook for a first. No, I'm not doing that. DK Metcalf for a second in 2 years. No, I'm not doing that either.
Yeah. This is tough because, okay, let's put it this way. If I'm a rebuilding team, man, I want that Jaden Daniels side. Like, if I'm competing, I don't know if I have the guts to make this trade. I think is the that's what I'm really trying to put myself in. Like, if I'm a competing team and I have Jaden Daniels and I'm like, oh man, like this is my, like, you know, this doesn't need to be your year, because it's not like Caleb Williams, James Cook, or DK Metcalf are retiring. Mm-hmm. And they're not even really falling into that much of a value dip after this year, because there's nothing happening to any of these players within the next few months.
Yeah.
So it's just like, man, I want, like, I think I want the production. I feel like that's wrong because I love Jaden Daniels, but I think just give me Caleb, give me James Cook, give me DK Metcalf.
I think I'm with you. That I want the players. When I look at it, to me, I keep thinking the value is on the Daniels side, especially given what we said about where he was being valued, at least in the DLF ADP.
Yeah.
As a top five quarterback, top three quarterback. I still would put him ahead of Caleb Williams, even given, I mean, the injuries have kind of hit him that he wasn't playing great this year either. Like, that's kind of obscured that, I feel like. But
I'm super willing to put that on the offense. I'm willing to put that on that they should have brought in someone else besides Deebo Samuel and Terry. I almost said Terry Higgins. I'm so used to saying the name Higgins at this point. Terry McLaurin's been out for like the entire season. So I'm gonna personal bias the heck out of this season for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, so to me, you need to give up. To me, James Cook, you got to pay a first for. And DK Metcalf is worth more than a second, but Jaden Daniels is so much worth more than Caleb Williams to me at this point. Even still, like, I know Williams has been better this year. I know Daniels is hurt and hasn't played great. I still think the value difference is too great there compared to the rest of it. So I feel like the value is on the Jaden Daniels side, but I wouldn't hate doing this if I had Jaden Daniels like you. I kind of want the players though, if I'm competing, because Caleb Williams has looked good. DK Metcalf actually concerns me though. Like, I did not like DK Metcalf coming into the league. Then I turned around real quick and it's a big DK Metcalf fan, but it's other than a game or two, it's been pretty rough in Pittsburgh this season.
Yes. I read it like recently. Every Monday, at least on Blue Sky, I'm assuming he does it on the other site also. JJ Zacharyson puts out a Monday morning dump, data dump, and where he just talks about like every fantasy relevant player ever and just gives you so many good numbers. And I think there was like, he had over a 20% target share once this season. Or twice, including like this past game, he just broke 20, and so it's like he's not getting targeted.
Yeah, and he's not scoring a lot of fantasy points.
Yeah, because you need the ball to do that.
Yes.
So yeah, that move has been weird. I think I agree with Rocky. I think the value is the Daniels side, but give me the players, and let DK Metcalf either be my wide receiver 3, 4, 5, or just be my depth for hope I don't have to play him, but I have him if I have to.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to TA10. All right, this is a big one.
Yes.
Whoa.
All right, deep breath in. Jackson Dart, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, and a 27 first for Lamar Jackson, Kenneth Walker, and DK Metcalf. Wow, two DK trades in one week.
Yeah.
Man.
One more time. Jackson Dart, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter at a 27 first for Lamar Jackson, Kenneth Walker, and DK Metcalf.
Man, I hate to say it because, like I said earlier, I'm not a fan of Lamar Jackson for fantasy purposes. This is almost that entire side for Lamar.
Yep. That's how I was looking at it. Like, if that was just that for Lamar, I would probably still want Lamar. It would be a lot closer. But you had two significant starting pieces along with Lamar. And the whole other side. I liked Dart coming into the league, and I think he's already shown enough that I feel really good about him going forward. But the entire rest of that is a question. I mean, obviously the 27 first you can turn into something else. But the entire rest of that is a question mark. And Lamar Jackson, and I also like Lamar Jackson way more than you do, John. So that helps it for me too. And we know what Kenneth Walker is. We know what DK Metcalf can be, and hopefully will be again. But yeah, that's just not enough to me. It's barely enough for Lamar. It's definitely not enough for Lamar and two starting players.
Yeah, and you're selling low on Walker and Metcalf, you know? I mean, most likely. Like, we obviously don't know that for a fact, but it's just kind of the wrong time to be getting out on those two guys as proven producers.
Yeah, I saw this go through, and I stopped and I thought, because I have Lamar Jackson on my TA2 team that is tanking, so I'm like, would I trade Lamar Jackson away for this? And just no. It's like, really quickly, my mind went, nah. I like the idea of Jackson Dart. I do. But if I'm trading away Lamar Jackson, I want something that I know is going to keep its value.
Yeah. I mean, even Dart, like I gave the benefit of the doubt that I feel like Dart is more of a given than the other parts, but he's still a question mark. I mean, he's only played like, what, 4 or 5 games at this point, so.
And had a concussion in 3 of them, and only one was it actually looked for. And Cam Ward, I'm just, even though if it's not necessarily his fault, you don't love what you're seeing out of him at this point.
And that's just too much risk at quarterback. Like, typically I love getting two quarterbacks, but when you're getting two rookie quarterbacks out of the same class, and, you know, we already know the most likely scenario is one of them hits and one doesn't, and it's pretty obvious which way that's going to go at this point. Like, you're just kind of signing up for, you know, a 50-50 proposition between the two. Like, one of these guys is going to hit and one is not. And it's just like, that's just not a game I want to play if I'm trying to rebuild.
And even if one hits, they're almost certainly not going to hit at the level of Lamar Jackson.
True. Yeah.
Last trade. Brian Thomas Jr. and a 27 first for Javonte Williams and Rome Odunze.
And those 27 picks, man, that's...
This is one of those years where it looks like the 2 years out pick is worth equal, if not more, than this year's pick.
Yeah, everybody loves the 27 class.
And I still hate that. I've always hated that. I get it that those are, you've got, you know, the two wide receivers and a bunch of quarterbacks coming in. Like, I get it, but it's still just, that's such a long time to wait.
Yeah, and what year was it? 20? Was it 23 that were like golden picks or something? I know there was some in the last few years, there was some picks that I can't remember what year it was. The draft was good, but it wasn't anything special. Like, it wasn't, every pick was a stud in that round. I just remember thinking that after like everybody was going gaga over these picks for like 2 years, that the draft didn't even pan out the way we thought.
2020 and 2021, it was the same thing, but there's still Jalen Reagor. Like, he still exists. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he existed at the time. I don't know if he's still, I'm sure he still exists in this world, not necessarily in the league. You know, there's still going to be plenty of misses along the way. So, it's always a rough proposition to say, just because this class doesn't seem like it's going to be good, and next year we know it's going to be good. First of all, we don't know those guys are coming out in 27 with the NIL money and with players just wanting to win national championships if they have the chance. We've seen players hang back for an extra year. So, like, it's a very, very dangerous game to do something like that.
Also, but, by the way, could you imagine if someone told you this trade like 4 months ago?
I know, right? That's really what I was staring at. Like, what Brian Thomas Jr. coming in at wide receiver 3 to 5 before the season started.
Javonte is an afterthought, pretty much, at that point.
and people were still pretty into Brian Thomas Jr., you know? I mean, he had a kind of a bad camp, but it's like, okay, so it's training camp, whatever. Like, he's wearing shorts. Like, this doesn't tell me anything. Yeah, now it looks, it's actually kind of close, I think. I still think I would probably, man, and again, like, I don't want to fall into this trap. I don't want to fall into this hype thing of the 27 draft class being so much, being worth a 2-year wait, you know? That's just been like the time value on that has just always been one of my biggest pet peeves. And like, I feel like when I'm not just like out, when I'm not podcasting, like hammering the same things all the time, like time value on rookie picks and, you know, the value of quarterbacks in Superflex, like now people are out there trading their quarterbacks for non-quarterbacks. And, you know, trading away proven talent for, you know, a pick that's not going to come up for 2 years. It is so frustrating to me. Like, I just have to keep talking about this nonstop for the rest of my life, basically, to keep people calibrated. But I, all that being said, I'm probably going with the 27 first.
So Roma Dunze is wide receiver 16 in points per game with a bagel in there. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas Jr. is wide receiver 44 with.
Yeah, I was just going to say that points. I think I lean the players here because I feel like Adunze and Thomas. And this might be my player bias is creeping in, but I might lean Adunze there given what we've seen this year, given his status coming out. And again, also my player bias, but I've been the biggest Javonte stan forever, and he's finally coming through on that this year. And I feel like this is kind of – I feel like it's pretty good value for what you're sending. Like, if you're sending Brian Thomas in the 27 first, I feel like you're getting pretty good value back. Will Javonte be good for many, many years to come? No. But I think he could still be good next year, and I think Roma Dunze will be good for many years to come. And like Russ said, he's – I think he's playing better than a lot of people who don't have Roma Dunze on the roster think he's playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Javonte, by the way, running back 9 in points per game. Even coming off a bad 7.3 outing. Well, this he did. They just had their bye week.
Before the bye, yeah.
I just wonder how long that's going to last. You know, how long does he hold that value? And how many opportunities.
Starting running back in Dallas.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's just how many opportunities are you going to get to flip him for a first? I guess that's going to.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at this, like this might be just dire on Brian Thomas Jr.'s value. Mm-hmm. Like, because if we're saying Adunze and BTJ are equal, and then you paid a 27 first for Javonte. In that case, the value to me is the BTJ side because, like John just said, you shouldn't be getting a first, no matter even if it is 27 for Javonte. Mm-hmm. But like the value of this trade shows me that whoever made this trade, who I have no idea who it was, believes that Brian Thomas Jr. is now worth less than Roma Dunze, which I think
that's where I'm at.
I think it's going to be the way it is. I mean, I don't have any ADP pulled up in front of me because I'm too lazy to do it, but.
I mean, we've got like the problem is they both have, you know, over the course of their, you know, 1 2/3 years career have basically the same basic production. It's just that Roma Dunze's is more immediate.
Yeah. What Roma Dunze is doing now, Brian Thomas Jr. did last year, but we don't get our points for last year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of like, predicting like what can still happen, like we've seen it with both of them, you know. So but it's a stretch to ask people to think about Brian Thomas Jr. last year, at the end of last year, what he did for you in the fantasy playoffs, and put that up against what Roma Dunze is doing right now. Like that is hard to do. I get that.
By the way, it's still too early for November ADP, but Adunze in October was 9 and Thomas was wide receiver 11.
Ooh, I love, I haven't gotten to do this in the longest time. The smallest of smallest sample sizes. I'm in one of the DLF mocks, and Brian Thomas Jr. was taken at the 303. Roma Dunze was taken at the 210, both by Ryan McDowell.
Oh, there you go. Man, that tells us kind of nothing, right? That's like... Yeah. That was out of turn.
He took him, you know, he took Brian Thomas Jr.
in the October ADP too. They're like six spots apart when you look at the number for the ADP, like not the rank, but like what spot they were taken at on average is six spots apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
This grouping right here. Hold on. Roma Dunze, Garrett Wilson, Quinshon Judkins, Tet McMillan, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr. I just like that group of players. And then Saquon Barkley, just because I love Saquon. So I'll put his name in there also.
Hell yeah. Nice.
Such a great grouping of players. But I give me a Dunze and Javonte. Give me the production. Because it's not like we thought Dunze was bad last year. The team was bad last year. And now the team's playing well, Odunze is doing well. So it's almost like our confirmation bias, right? Like we thought Odunze was good, and now he's doing good. So good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So again, like to me, I think give me Odunze and Javonte Williams.
I think you can throw in there too. Like I think it's encouraging that like Caleb Williams just looks like he's playing better. It's not, you know, not just like Odunze's getting more targets. I feel like he's gotten better from his quarterback than what he was getting last year.
And it's very possible. Brian Thomas Jr. was kind of there were kind of a lot of trade rumors leading up to the deadline anyways. And then, you know, now another lost season here. What do they do at quarterback? Because you can make an excuse for Trevor Lawrence every season of his career, but at what point do you just say, I'm just tired of like having any kind of excuses? Like at what point do you just show up and play for us?
Yeah. So I'm at the point where I'm out of excuses. I was one of those people making it for him every single year. And I think I'm out of it at this point.
I love bringing this up. After his first year, I did this for some reason, I think because I was already a Trevor Lawrence hater. I was looking up, like I had the subscription to this site where you could like use benchmarks and see what quarterbacks like have reached them, and I did a lot of his rookie stats, and like no one had been as bad as he was his rookie year. The best player, like based on certain levels, I think I used like interception percentage and completion percentage and touchdown something. I forget exactly the pieces I used, but no one had the best person that had been as bad at those things as Trevor Lawrence was Alex Smith. And is he that much better than Alex Smith at this point?
I don't know. Put him on the Chiefs and let's find out.
Like that's kind of what I feel like he is. It's just his name is Trevor Lawrence. Those people don't think of him that way. But I think like prime, like mid-career Alex Smith when he was playing well, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is any better than that. Do you?
He's not playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Like at this point, that's kind of his best case scenario.
Yeah,
is to be honest.
I'm saying it actually like it's funny that I did that after his rookie season, and that was the best name on the list of all the people who had done that bad, and that looks like his like you said, his best case scenario.
Yeah. So you know, with all that being said, like just the fact that we might be in for some type of turbulence and turnover of some kind for Brian Thomas Jr., I think that probably pushes it to the other side. But man, I really want to believe that him and Roma Dunze are as close as Ryan thinks. And I would love the opportunity to, you know, to move laterally at wide receiver and get Javonte, you know, get a first for Javonte. Because like I said, I don't think you're going to get that opportunity again.
Yep. All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Thank you, Superflex Dude.
Superflex Dude.
For coming on the show. I greatly appreciate it. I'm so glad that you are here when I'm hosting.
Yeah, no, yeah, I felt like that must be planned or something. I'm like your chaperone. You're like, you can't come back to Trade Addicts without me. You can't do it. You can't do it, man. No, thank you for having me, guys. It's always great to see both of your lovely faces.
Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Sure. So, as Superflex Dude on Twitter and Blue Sky. Yeah, I'm still on Twitter for some reason. And Superflex Super Shows, the podcast, DynastyLeagueFootball.com is the website. Rankings are there and the occasional article as well.
Our stuff. What's our stuff? I love that Frank has it written down at the bottom, so I don't have to think
about it. So do I. For when I have to host.
You do that for me?
Here.
patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we well, you can hang out with Frank and Rock while they record, or me whenever I'm here, John whenever he's here. Hang out with us while we record. We also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which you could be part of, where I go to ask people, oh man, I almost asked a question about a trade about someone who's in the Cool Kids Club, and I stopped myself. It was like,
I've done that before.
But that's the place, because that's the place I go to when I have a question. I go to the Cool Kids Club. I'm like, oh, no, wait, can't ask them. Oh, well. But yeah, so patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Other than that, it's all about Fantasy Cares. The shows we got going on at Fantasy Cares on Tuesdays during the day at 1 p.m. Eastern. Usually we do our SFB recap show at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. Joey Wright, the Joey Wright, does trivia, which is so much fun to hang around for. And then every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., we do the Wednesday night hangout, which is just a group of people hanging out, having a good time. So join us, have a good time. Sometimes we give stuff away. Sometimes we just talk about food for an hour and a half. It's just whatever comes to our noggins. More importantly, most importantly, the 25 days, 25 jerseys, or 25 jerseys in 25 days, however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. I used to call it the Fantasy Cares Advent Calendar. Every day in December from 1 through 25, we open up a new box with a signed jersey and give it to a random person. So go to fantasycares.org and you can see the campaign for 25 jerseys, 25 days. Donate and you get two entries into this little game where every day we will go live, pick a random person from that list and give them a, I picked these jerseys personally. They're very good. Let's just put it that way. They are very good jerseys. You would be excited to win these jerseys. So please, fantasycares.org, join that campaign or just donate for the sake of donating. We greatly appreciate all of it. It's almost toy shopping time, so every penny will help. Whew, I'm out. I got nothing else. Good night, everybody.
The jerseys are T. Higgins or Jaden Higgins?
Both. It's a cut in half where Higgins and it's...
Oh my God. This is my nightmare. I'm still going to donate. Still going to donate.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.